Tonight is a very special night. It's the night of Hoshana Rabbah. Tonight is the night of the last day of Sukkot. And the last day of Sukkot, the seventh day of Sukkot, is called in our literature Hoshana Rabbah, the great Hoshana, the great save us, please. The Talmud says that there was a mitzvah in the Beit HaMikdash of Arava. Every day you take long-stemmed aravot, very long aravot, and they would walk around the Mizbeach with the Arava. They would walk around the altar with the Arava. Others say they would not walk around, but they would put the Arava to stand over the Mizbeach, over the altar. And on Hoshana Rabbah, on the seventh day, they didn't walk around the Mizbeach once, they walked around the Mizbeach seven times. This goes back to the times of the Gaonim, the times of the great sages who lived in Iraq, from about the 7th century till about the 10th century. The great Gaonim, the great geniuses, they instituted a commemoration of the observance of the mitzvah of Arava. And that institution was Hoshana Rabbah, to say added prayers on Hoshana Rabbah. Every day of Sukkot, we take the lulav and esrog and walk around the bima and walk around the Sefer Torah saying Hoshana. And on Hoshana Rabbah, we do it seven times. We walk around seven times, keep walking around the bima again and again. And this is the great Hoshana, the great day of prayer that God should forgive. The truth is that in the mystical literature, it's revealed that Hoshana Rabbah is really a very special day. The truth is that there are only 29 days in the month of Elul. Then you have 22 days in the month of Tishrei, till you get to Hoshana Rabbah, because Sukkot started on the 15th, and tonight is the 7th day of Sukkot, it's the 22nd of the month of Tishrei. 22 plus 29 equals 51. Hoshana, save us, please. The word na is Gematria 51. And there's a book called, I think it's the book Mate Moshe, where he says that this day 51, is the most powerful day. And even if someone hasn't been fixed till this day, if for whatever reason the judgment for good hasn't yet been determined, on this day, on Hoshana Rabbah, now we have our last chance. In fact, the Zohar, this really goes back to the Zohar, in the Zohar it is written that we know the Talmud tells us that on Rosh Hashanah, hopefully things are signed, and on Yom Kippur, things are sealed. But on Hoshana Rabbah, that's when the sealed pieces of paper are given over to the messengers to be carried out.
So the mail sent.
Right. So there's a custom to say, Agutza Kvitzel, that everyone should have a good letter, a good piece of paper, that their decision should be good, or in Hebrew, piska tava, a good pitka, a good note. And there's a Hasidic custom on Hoshana Rabbah night to have a lot of learning of Torah, and to learn the entire Torah. So how can you learn the whole Torah at night? So the truth is, there are Chamisha Chumshe Torah, five books of Torah, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim. Dvarim is called Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah literally means the repetition of the Torah, the summary, the recapitulation, as it were, of the entire Torah. So there's a Hasidic custom tonight to learn the entire book of Dvarim. Some people hear it, sometimes they'll take out the Sefer Torah, and they'll just lame the whole book of Dvarim for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And others will sit and learn the book of Dvarim. They'll start from the first pasuk and they'll go all the way through. Some will learn it with Rashi. That already talked to the whole night. You're trying to learn every Rashi on the book of Dvarim. Probably take the whole night till a person finishes. And there are some who also say the entire book of Tehillim. It's 150 chapters of Tehillim. That's also usually about 2 hours worth of recital. So it's a custom to stay up the whole night, Hoshana Rabba night, to learn, to try to make sure we get it, we get the right decision. This is our last opportunity. We have to try to get the final decision for good.
The right paper.
God should give us the right paper. So I thought it would be worthwhile for us tonight. We have a great privilege that we're learning tonight. It's Hoshana Rabba night, a night of learning. I thought it would be worthwhile for us to learn a couple of pieces from Rav Shmuel Bornstein in his book Shemi Shmuel. Different perspectives on Hoshana Rabba. There are thousands of perspectives, but maybe some of these ideas will help inspire us that, God willing, tomorrow our davening will be a warmer davening with more feeling and more emotion, and that we will try to taste a little bit of the atmosphere of the day. So the first piece is on page Kuf Tzadi Tes from Rabbi Bornstein's book Shem Yishmua. He was the Sachachava Rebbe. Sachachav was a town in Poland. His father was one of the great halachic giants of the entire Jewish world of the 20th century. Really the 19th century and the 20th century. His name was Rabbi Avraham Bornstein, the Avnei Nezer. And he used to learn, his father used to learn the entire Masechta Shabbos from week to week. Every Friday he would make a siyum. He would celebrate the completion of the entire Masechta Shabbos. It's about 156 pages. And he would learn in Gemara, Rashi, Tosos, plus medieval commentators. It wasn't just Gemara, Rashi. Then he got sick, and he was very weak, and he couldn't learn. But he couldn't not learn, so he wrote. He wrote a book on the Masechta Shabbos, which is a very basic book on the laws of Shabbos, called Eglei Tal. And he wrote it because he wasn't feeling well enough to be learning the whole Masechta every week. So when he wasn't feeling well, he had to rejuvenate himself by writing, by producing his novelet, his new ideas. He was a very great giant, and his son, Rav Shmuel Bornstein, was also a great giant and a great tzaddik. Died in the 20s. He lived in Poland, in Sachachav, and he wrote this book, Shem Yishmuel. He wrote up his commentaries and his ideas on the Parshiot of the Torah, and it's been published and republished by his descendants, by his children, by his grandchildren. Republishing it. I think it's gone through 9 or 10 printings already. So, every book is very special. This is also very special. So he's addressing the question of Hoshana Rabba in many books is presented as the final opportunity, the point when there is the final seal. But we know the Gemara tells us that on Yom Kippur already we had the final seal. So why another seal? That's the question. So the Ari HaKadosh, Rav Isaac Luria, answered that on Hoshana Rabba, it's a seal on top of a seal. There's a seal of Yom Kippur, and now there's a second seal, the seal of Hoshana Rabba. So what does that mean? Suggests Rabbi Bornstein, Shnei Inyanei Chosam Yesh, there are two types of seals. Echad Kmo Chosam B'to Chosam, Shelo Yishlot Bo Shum Adam. One is a seal within a seal that no one should be able to get in. The Hasheni, the other type of seal, is not that no one should be able to get into this, but She Yishaer Rosham Vekiyum, that there should be something that stays, something that lasts. When a person signs their name, so a person with ink, so the ink is there, but the ink might fade. But if a person etches it in, if there's a seal, the seal lasts much longer than the ink. That something should last. Kamosha kasuv, like we have the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Sineni kachosam al libeich, kachosam al zroeich. God says to the Jewish people, place me like a seal on your heart, like a seal on your arms. To be a seal, to be something which lasts forever, that there should be a long-standing relationship. says Rabbi Bornstein, Hachasima Harishona, Ibn'ila B'Yom Kippur. The first seal is the end of Yom Kippur, by Ne'ila. The Be'emes Misha Zocha Mishpat Bedina, Ein Olav Shun Kitruk. Because if somebody can stand and be judged, and while being under the microscope of every deed, measured and investigated, be deserving of life, to be sealed for life because he deserved it or she deserved it. If we deserve life, if we've earned life, then there can't be any complaints. Well, what's the Satan going to say? If he deserves it, he deserves it. Satan can only get involved if a person is being helped by kindness. If God in kindness is saying, okay, Zevi, you don't deserve, but because I love you, because I'm going to be gracious to you, I'm going to be generous, I'll give it to you. So then the Satan can come and say, but he doesn't deserve. God, how can you give? Look at all these sins. He doesn't deserve. But if a person deserves, then there can be no complaints. No one can say anything. He deserved. So says the Shem Yishmuel, on Yom Kippur, it's Judgment Day. It's the continuation of Rosh Hashanah. If a person has earned, by the end of Yom Kippur, life, so that's as if he's been sealed, and now there can be no complaints about it. Ach mi hu sheyizkeh b'dina. The truth is, though, who, though, can say that he has earned it? Like we say in our prayer, Mi yizkeh lefanecha b'din, who will be found favorable before you when we're being judged? God gives us life out of kindness, out of compassion. Against this, there are forces of evil that protest. Lomar to say, Adam, a person should not be deserving of this kindness. So there has to be a seal. That those forces that want to make a claim, they shouldn't be able to make a claim. There's a seal. God says, you know what? Quiet. I don't want to hear. V'achasima hashmiya, but the second type of seal, hi b'Hoshana Rabbah. That's on Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is the day sheyisha'er roshem v'kiyum. Hoshana Rabbah is to try to impress upon ourselves holiness in the sense that we need a sealing that it should last, that there should be an impression made that lasts. Like the Holy Zohar teaches, Kad anet tistalik minan, when you will leave us, yishaer rishuma didach, your impression will remain. Vinechosam eno matbia be'evet. The truth is, you can't make a seal on stone. You can only make a seal on something soft. Rak al dava rach keshava. You need something soft like wax to be able to make a seal. V'zehu im ha'lev hu lev basa. Question is, are our hearts soft enough for an impression to be made on them? We worked on Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah, we worked on Yom Kippur, we sat in a sukkah, we shook lulav. Hoshana Rabbah is the day when we're trying to impress that into us. We need another sealing, because now we need to push into ourselves all that we've done. And the key to pushing something in is having a soft heart. A hard heart, you can't brand a hard heart. It needs to be a heart of flesh. So how do we get a soft heart? Al yedei mitzvas halulav, shehu lev, nase halev lev basar. The truth is, the lulav, that we've been shaking lulav for 6 days, and even more on Hoshana Rabbah, we shake lulav, we walk around with the lulav. On Hoshana Rabbah with the lulav, the picking of the lulav, the lifting of the lulav, that makes the heart a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone.
Is the word lulav one word, or it can be broken up into lul and lav?
Yeah, probably. It's probably. I'm sure there are things that have been said about that. I'm sure there are.
But low love.
the Midrash says that there was an Or HaGanuz. There was a heavenly, when God created the light on day one of creation, so the light of day one the Midrash says, was such a special light that God had to put it away for the righteous for the world to come. It's a hidden light. It's a light that's so bright, we can't see it. Now it's hidden somewhere. We can't see it with our human eyes. The Midrash says that that light burned for 36 hours. That's why on Hanukkah we light 36 candles. You add 8 plus 7 plus 6 plus 5 plus 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1. It's 36 candles. The 36 candles of Hanukkah correspond to the 36 hours of the hidden light. And when we look at the Hanukkah candles, the neshama feels that it's looking at hidden light, that it's looking at the light of creation. So maybe the lulav is the 30 lamed vav, the 36 hours of the hidden light affecting the wave, affecting the heart. Maybe I'm sure there are a lot of things said about this, but the lulav is the heart, says Rabbi Bornstein, because the lulav turns the heart into a heart that feels. How so? To be yoser nasa leiv even migeus. Why do we have hard hearts? Says Rabbi Bornstein, arrogance. When we are filled with ourselves, when I'm convinced that I'm brilliant, or I'm wise, or successful, or hardworking, or anything that I'm proud of, I think I'm great, then the heart can't hear anything. Then the heart is made of stone. A heart that's arrogant is made of stone. As a very famous comment of Rav Moshe Leib of Sasov, he said, if you wanted to fill a cup up, you need to lower it underneath the other cup that you're pouring into it. For anything to come in, it has to be lowered. If I want anything to come into my heart, I need to lower myself.
Water falls down,
right? The only way things come in is if I lower myself. But if I'm arrogant and convinced that I'm brilliant or whatever it is, convinced that I'm successful, wealthy, I'm very smart, I make the right decisions in my business, that's why I don't have the failures that others have. If a person's convinced, filled with arrogance, then the heart is a heart of stone. Nothing can come in. In fact, the Shem Yishmuel writes in many places in his commentary, the Zohar talks about certain clouds, that there are clouds of blackness that are so black that any light that comes in gets swallowed and makes the blackness even more. And he says that's a symbol for arrogance. Because if someone's arrogant, you add a little Torah, there's even more reason to be arrogant. Well, now I know another Masechta. Now I know a little more, you know, even more to be arrogant. If there's arrogance, the more light you put in there, the mitzvahs that a person does, yeah, I'm great, I do all these wonderful good deeds, I have guests, I give charity, I'm a wonderful person, I'm a superstar. It's a black cloud that swallows whatever light gets put into it. So a heart that's arrogant is a heart that's stone. It can't make an impression, the holiness can't make its mark there. So the mitzvah of lulav is to break that. How so? V'halulav machnia es ha'adam. Lulav humbles man. Sharei osim kulam aguda achat. What is the lulav? The lulav is to take the lulav, which is from the fruit tree, and to combine it with an esrog, which is a fruit with a nice smell, and to combine it with a hadas, which has a nice smell but doesn't have any fruit, and to combine it with an arava that doesn't have either, doesn't have a smell, doesn't have fruit. It's all the different types of Jews. And to tie them all together. In other words, Sharei Osim Kula Machuda Achas, they're all tied together, Achein Lazem Mailal Zeh, so one is no greater than the other. The lulav's no better than the arava. It needs the arava to be kasher. If I have a lulav and a hadas and an esrog, it's not kasher. The lulav now is humbled. It needs the arava. V'mchaseira arava, if it's missing an arava, afshehi neged anashim she'en behem lo tam v'lo reach, even though the arava represents people without any taste, without any smell, without any mitzvos, without any Torah, einu mekayim a mitzvah, a person's not fulfilling the mitzvah, k'moim hayachaser esrog, like if a person's missing an esrog. V'mkol zeh lo ho'il. And if all of this doesn't help, if, say, shaking lulav doesn't help, so what will help soften the heart? Answers Rabbi Bornstein, ha'etzahi Torah, learning Torah. Ki ha'Torah nitna beluchos evan. The Torah was given in tablets of stone. The evan mechik evan. Stone can break other stones. Therefore, says the Shem Yishmuel, many times a person sits, a person stands, and a person is praying, and he really feels it, or she really feels it. A person really feels the words of prayer. And a person is aroused. Okay, I want to be better now. I want to give a certain amount of money to tzedakah. I'm going to go out of my way to learn a little more Torah. I feel close to God. Yachikach no fumi madre gaso. Then a person falls from that level. They don't feel it anymore. And they're not doing what they thought they would do. So why? Why did they fall? Says the Shem Yishmuel, Zeu machmash lo hayalo od leif basar. It's because the heart wasn't yet soft. It was a stone heart. So there was an emotion, but it didn't make an impression. It didn't last. V'chol zman shelibo shel adam pasuach. But when a person's heart is a little opened, we need to learn a lot of Torah to soften the heart even more. That's the idea of saying the prayer of Aleinu after davening. Because with the prayer of Aleinu, they knock down the walls that surrounded Yericho. So we want to knock down the walls that surround our heart. We want to make sure that our heart is a soft heart. That's the idea of Hoshana Rabbah. The idea of Hoshana Rabbah is to try to have a soft heart. Why do we learn the night of Hoshana Rabbah? The Shem Yishmuel says, to soften our hearts a little more. To have a soft heart so that when we daven again and again in Hoshana Rabbah, we say, God, Hoshana, Hoshana, save us. Hoshana, Hoshana, save us, save us, save us. We daven again and again. It should all make an impression. It shouldn't just be, yeah, we said it, but it didn't make any mark on us. That these things should make a mark within us, and it should last. It should be a seal into the heart, a seal that lasts. That's Hoshana Rabbah, again and again. The truth is, one of the struggles that a person has frequently, one of the challenges with Hoshana Rabbah, is that it seems to be the same prayer. Again and again, we say, Hoshana, save us, Hoshana, save us. How many times can we feel anything for that prayer? It's a very powerful lesson of the Sfas Emes, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Alter. When I heard this lesson, I heard it from Rabbi Zvi Meyer Zilberberg, who is a teacher in Yerushalayim, a very special man. He is the oldest grandchild of Rabbi Gedalia Shor, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he is a Ger, I don't know what type of, I think he's an Amshinover Chassid now. And he's a very passionate man, really works hard in serving God. One of his big themes is that everything that happens is absolutely the best. Whatever we're going through, it's the best. It's not just okay. It's the best. Whatever we're going through is really the best. Absolutely the best. Everything is the best. And I was once at his...
Everything is for the best? You're at Damsel or...
It's for the best. It is the best. Whatever's going on is... We need to approach it with such joy. Whatever happens to us, we need to approach with absolutely embracing it. He was speaking on a Shalashudas before Hoshana Rabbah. And he said that we should realize that Hoshana Rabbah is the day when we keep saying, Hoshana, please God save us. Please save us. We keep praying again and again. In one word we have the whole prayer. Hoshana, save us. It's one word, two words, one word. That's the whole prayer. And again, so why do we keep repeating the prayer? The Torah says in the beginning of Parshas Vayeschanan, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told he couldn't enter the land of Israel, Moshe davened to God at that time, saying, please, please let me in. And Rashi says, Vo'eschanan. Vo'eschanan is the Gematria 515. Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 times that God should let him into the land of Israel. And then God says a couple of verses later, Rav Lach, you have a lot. Al Tosef Daber Elai Od Badavar Hazeh. Don't talk to me anymore about this matter. Stasema said if Moshe Rabbeinu would have davened 516 times, then God would have had to let him. Everything in this world we can get. Just there's a certain number of prayers we need to get. We need to recite to get that thing. We don't know what the number of prayers is. To enter into the land of Israel was 516 prayers. So Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 times, and God said, look, I've decided you can't enter the land. For my reasons, the Ramban says if Moshe would have entered, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash could never then have been destroyed. If it could never have been destroyed, if the Jews would sin, the Jews would have had to be destroyed. Whatever the reasons are. But for God's reasons, Moshe can no longer enter the land. He said, you prayed 515 times, you can't pray anymore. Don't pray anymore. Because if you prayed 516, then you get it. And Hoshana Rabbah, we keep saying to God, Hoshana, Hoshana, please, save us, save us. Again and again. In one word is a whole prayer, Hoshana. We pray again and again and again. Because who knows how many times we need to pray to get whatever we're praying for. Who knows? And who knows how valuable each prayer is. It could be that the second that we walk out of shul and we whisper to God, God, Hoshana. We whisper another prayer. That second, that's going to be the one time that's going to put us over the top and bring us the amount of prayers necessary to give us the blessings that we're praying for.
God knows that we're going to say the prayer.
Right.
And God already knows that we're going to say one or 500 Hoshanas.
Right.
God already has the message. We might need to say it 500 times, but God doesn't even hear it, let alone hear it more than once. In part, that always struck me as somewhat insensitive to our respect for God. That God would need, who are we? I mean, we said it once.
Right. So there's the famous question. Right. Yeah. Right. So there, the classical answer is that for us, as if the purpose of prayer is to humble us, we need to be humbled 516 times, at least most of needed, to truly merit entering the land of Israel. So Hoshana Rabbah is the day of prayer. It's the day of an open heart. Who's the Ushpizin of Hoshana Rabbah? Every night we have a different guest. The Ushpizin of Hoshana Rabbah is David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the author of so many of our tefillos. The author of Psuki Dezimna, the author of Tehillim. David HaMelech is Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael. He's the great singer of the Jewish people, the great poet of the Jewish people. He's the heart of the Jewish people. He's the person who has the soft heart, the great feeler, the one who really felt the feelings of the Jewish people. That's David HaMelech. That's Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is the day when we have to have soft hearts, and humbled hearts. The Arava has nothing to be arrogant about. There's nothing there. There's no Torah. There are no mitzvos. It's nothing. There's nothing to be arrogant about. And where do we take it? We put it on the floor. We take the Arava, we clop it on the floor, we knock it on the floor. Really nothing to be arrogant about. That's the final seal. The final seal is we have a very broken heart, an open heart, a soft heart. When we have an open heart, a soft heart, a heart that's praying to the Almighty, that all the holiness of the 21 days, starting from Rosh Hashanah, all can be embedded, it can be engraved, it can be marked, it can last. That's the tremendous day of Hoshana Rabbah that we're entering into. It's a day when we pray and we pray. We try to keep breaking our heart and softening our heart, opening it up so that God should seal Himself into our hearts. Hineni kachosam al libeich, kachosam al zro'eich. That God should seal Himself into our hearts. Yeah, Alan, you had a question?
Yeah,
Is there anywhere in Tanakh or in the Gemara where someone reversed their seal during this appeal period between Yom Kippur and Yom? And how do we know that this
is an example? This is our tradition. It's a tradition from the masters of the secrets of Torah. That's what they revealed.
My issue is, we don't know where we stand.
Right. Well, we know next year.
I know next year how you did.
And someone said to me, "How was your Rosh Hashanah?" I said, "Very nice." He said, "It's the wrong answer." He said, "You'll find out at the end of the year. Uh-huh. Find out at the end of the year how the Rosh Hashanah was. We'll see what the year brings."
So you're saying, because you're saying, you know, you're praying and you're praying, that there's an assumption that we know what we're praying for is good for us. It may not be. You may be praying for success in your business. Maybe Hashem says, you know, maybe a little less success in your business.
Okay. So, but you can take it even a step further, which
so
is...
So what you... What I'm saying is, why should a person...
We can, well, no, that's a very important point in terms of prayer. A person can say a step further. One can ask on prayer, and we've learned this. One could ask, pray. Who am I to ask God to change? Whatever he decides is the best. Why should I ask God? I mean, in fact, the Christians, they have such a prayer. Lord, do whatever is your will, whatever you want. But we don't. We say, Refa'enu, God, heal us. We say, send us forgiveness. Slach lanu, forgive us. Send us redemption. Give us a good year. I mean, we parnasa, barech aleinu shana tova. We ask for, you know, the return of Malchut Beit David. We do pray for things. So the truth is, we can go even a little further, which is, why should I even try to work in my business? God will give me whatever is good. Why should I put in any effort into anything? God will give me whatever God wants. He'll decide. You know, whatever God will decide, He'll give. And also, why should I put in any effort? So I think this is a very important philosophical point, which is, God wants us to act sometimes in one way, and in other times to act another way. Till something is determined, we need to approach life in a natural way. We need to try our best. We need to put in whatever effort we can in whatever project we're doing. When we pray, we think it's good for us, we need to pray for it, that should happen. Then in hindsight, our perspective is, whatever happened was the best. It was God's will.
Right.
But going forward, we need to put in our efforts, and our efforts are to pray for what we think is the best. That's what He wants of us, to act in a way that will bring about what we think is best. So on Hashanah Rabbah as well, we need to pray for life and for healing. The same as on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we pray for life and for healing. And we pray for God that the Shekhinah should be lifted, that the redemption should come, that the world should be aware of God. We shouldn't live in a world anymore with it. That denies God, a world in which God is so humiliated, so downtrodden. As the Shem Yishmuel writes elsewhere, in the name of his grandfather, the Kutzke Rebbe said, it's harder for a person to accept on himself the yoke of heaven than to accept on himself anything else in the world. It's easier to accept every other yoke in the world than to really accept the yoke of heaven. It's easier to say, okay, I'm taking on a diet. It's a yoke, a diet, so now I have to restrict what I'm going to eat. But I'm doing it. It's what I want. But to accept the yoke of heaven, whatever God wants is what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter. That's harder than any other acceptance. It's so hard to accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven. It's so hard to really serve God. We need to pray that it should be easier. For God's sake, for the sake of the world. God wants a greater world, a holier world. And we want a world that it should be easier to serve God. So Shana Rabbah is a day to pray. To pray for the Shekhinah, that there should be a greater revelation of the divine in the world. There should be easier to live according to the divine will. To pray for all the things. Every single prayer is precious, and God wants every single prayer. I mentioned once in my in a class that I gave on Tefillah, a story that I heard from my teacher of Moshe Wolfson, who said over from the Lechavitcher Rebbe, that the Lechavitcher Rebbe lost his help, who was helping in the house, and his wife was complaining to him that she didn't have help, it's very hard, she has a lot of guests, it's difficult. So he was praying once, And his chassidim heard him saying, God, please, please send us a good person. And they said to him, don't you think that that's... Afterwards they said, you know, it's a little demeaning to the Almighty, you know. This is the Almighty's concern that you should have a good maid. So it won't be such a good maid, you know. You need to bother God with this. He said, and who else is going to give me a good maid? Only God could give me a good maid. And God wants us to ask for a good maid too. He wants us to ask for all of our needs. Whatever we think is a need, the Almighty wants us to ask for it. The Almighty wants us to pray to Him. Now, Shana Rabba, we pray. But after we finish praying, we realize that whatever the answer that God will give, that answer is for our best. And sometimes the father says no because that's what's best for the child. Sometimes the father says that what's best for you is not to have this thing. You think this is the best. It's not the best. I know better. So we know that God will give us what's best. But and from our perspective, we should try, as best we can tell, from what we can tell, what we can see is best for us. That's what we need to pray for. You know, sometimes a person has to be careful to know what to think when. Everything has its time and place. They once asked of Moshe Leib Sasav, so if everything has its time and place, when does heresy have its time and place? He said, when a poor person comes to ask for your help, that's not the time to be a big believer. It's not the time to say, God will take care, God's going to help. That's the time to be a heretic. Imagine there's no God in the world and you're the only one who can help and you are the one who has to help. That's the way you help somebody. That's why we don't make a blessing before we give tzedakah. When we give tzedakah, we're imagining as if there's no... We're not saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God who gave us the mitzvah of tzedakah. No, when we give tzedakah, we're imagining there's nobody else in the world who can help, just us. That's the way we're going to help. We're going to help as if there's no one else who can help. There's a time and place for everything. There's a time and place also for heresy. So when it comes to prayers too, there's a time to realize God's will. God's will is after we pray. Then whatever God decided, that's the best, absolutely the best. But while we're praying, then we need to ask for everything, whatever we think we need, whatever obviously is in our minds a real need, we need to ask and pray. You know, Shana Rabba, every time we pray, we have no way of knowing. Every time we pray, who knows, that might be the one prayer that's necessary to make the impact on us, to give us that thing that we need to ask for. Every prayer recited tomorrow is a heavenly prayer. You know, by great tzaddikim, they basically daven the whole day, Hoshana Rabba. They don't do anything, they just daven the whole day. There was a very, very great tzaddik, the Klosenberger Rebbe. Klosenberger Rebbe was an unbelievable man, Rabbi Halberstam. He was a great Torah giant before the war, and then unfortunately he suffered greatly during the war in slave labor camps and in Bergen-Belsen. He lost his entire family during the war. He survived, and right after the war, when he was in Bergen-Belsen, when it was liberated, Rabbi Herschel Schachter, Rabbi J.J. Schachter, from formerly of the Jewish Center's father, was the rabbi who was there when they liberated Bergen-Belsen in 1945. Right away, the first thing that Klosenberger Rebbe did was he put together a yeshiva, and he started pulling together all the little kids, and started pushing them learn, and teaching them Torah, saving, building, right away, building, creating. Many, many people who were privileged to have been saved by the Klosenberger Rebbe's young children after the war. The Klosenberger Rebbe immediately started to build and to build. And he remarried, made another family, and he built communities in Williamsburg and then in Union City in New Jersey. And he built a suburb of Netanya, and he built a hospital, and he created Mifal HaShas. He was an amazing man, a giant of Torah. He knew everything. He knew all of the Shas. Phenomenal memory. When he was older, so these days would be very difficult for him physically. Because Hoshana Rabba night, he would sit and he would learn the entire book of Devarim Chumash with Rashi. But he couldn't just read the Rashi. He would comment on each Rashi, basically. Every couple Rashis, he would say something. A story, this Rashi answers this question, this Rashi relates to this, relates to that. It was the whole night, basically, he was learning. So one night, one year, Hoshana Rabba, the whole night he learned. And then the morning, he davened the whole day. And by the time he finished, it was a really night, basically. So he went right into Shmini Atzeret. He was in Israel's Netanya. And Shmini Atzeret night is already Akafas. So without eating, he hadn't eaten. The whole night he had been teaching. The whole day he had been davening and crying and davening. Right away he went into Shmini Atzeret. And during the Akafas, Shmini Atzeret's night, he fainted. So they grabbed him and they pulled him into his office right near the Beis Medrash. And he had a small fridge in the office where they had ice-cold bottles of seltzer. He used to drink seltzers. They pulled out these bottles of seltzer. They put him into his chair, and they started pouring seltzer on him to wake him up. And I think it was the third or fourth bottle that he started coming to. And he wasn't fully conscious yet. But he was just, you know, he had fainted. He was coming back. And he recognized that he was in the office. His office, sitting by his desk. His hand just shot out, grabbed the Gemara, and he opened it. And his hand started going across, reading the words right away. Just that way. He wasn't yet fully conscious, but that was a reflex. For him, it was a reflex to grab a Gemara, to pull it, and to start learning right away. So there were years that he would daven the whole day, Hoshana Rabbah. Because every tefillah of Hoshana Rabbah is a precious opportunity. Every time we say Hoshana, it can accomplish a great deal. And the avoda of this day, the work of this day, is to have a soft heart, an open heart, a heart that all those prayers will make an impression on. That's the first piece of the Sheni Shmur. We look to another piece of the Sheni Shmur. This is on page Reish, the two pages here. Slightly different perspective. Not really different, but another point of what Hoshana Rabbah is. Says the Shem Yishmor, Yesh lehisbonim, he should think, being in Arava, about the mitzvah of Arava, and he tell us Hoshana Rabbah b'fnei atzma, that's lifted up on Hoshana Rabbah by itself. Sha'arava ain b'lo tam b'lo reach. The arava has no taste; it has no smell. V'romezas la'anashim she'ain behem lo Torah v'lo mitzvos. It corresponds to people, and it represents people who don't have Torah and don't have mitzvos. U'v'chol yemos ha'chag during the days of Sukkis, hanitelas b'tziruv sha'ar minim shebelulav. The other days of Sukkis we can understand. We pick up the arava together with the hadas and the lulav. In other words, the hadas and the lulav overwhelmed the arava. Kmo chel b'nasha b'samani aktoras. We know that the ktoras was 11 spices, and the 11th was the chelbina, galbinum. Chelbina had a very, very foul odor, and yet it was part of the ktoras, which had a nice smell. So the Gemara says, you learn that when it's together with all the nice things, so the foul odor is overwhelmed, you don't smell it. So, okay, when you have the arava together with the lulav and the hadas, which are Torah and mitzvos, then you can understand why you can have arava too. But on Hoshana Rabbah, we lift up just the arava. What's the meaning of lifting up just the arava? The nira answers the Shem Yishmor. Mishum sha'az niftach mekar b'chiras Yisrael shehila ma'alam inatam. On Hoshana Rabbah, God opens up a heavenly level, the level of having chosen the Jewish people, and a level that's above any explanation. V'hainu ki Hoshana Rabbah hu yom chaf vav lebriyas ha'olam b'chaf hei be'elul. Hoshana Rabbah is the 26th day of creation. Because the truth is, Rosh Hashanah was really the sixth day of creation. Rosh Hashanah is the day of the creation of man, according to Tosfos. That means God began creation on Chaf Hei Elul. So if Rosh Hashanah is the sixth day of creation, today Hoshana Rabbah is the 26th day. It's the 22nd day of Tishrei. 22 plus 6 is 28. I'm sorry. Chaf Vav, let's see, Rosh Hashanah is the sixth day of creation. So Hoshana Rabbah, Yeah, Shana Rabbah is day 21. I'm sorry. Shana Rabbah is day 21 of Tishrei, at the seventh day. So 21 plus the day 21 is really the 26th day from Chaf Hei El, from the beginning of creation. 26 is the gematria Shal Shem Havaya Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo. 26 is the gematria of the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Hoshana Rabbah represents the day when there's the full name of God. The full name of God represents the very beginning of the name of God. The very beginning of the name of God represents the fact that God chose the Jewish people. Hoshana Rabbah is the day when God reveals or God opens up in heaven this concept that He has chosen us. Even if we're not deserving, God has chosen us. There's a very deep love that God has for the Jewish people. No matter where the Jew is, there's this tremendous love. Suggested the Sheni Shmuel, maybe that's the meaning of a Gemara in Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara says there was a story that Hoshana Rabbah once happened to be on a Shabbos. And on a Shabbos, the sages said, don't carry the Hoshanos into the Beis HaMikdash. So they picked the Hoshanos on Friday, and they left them in the Beis HaMikdash that night. There came people who weren't so observant, people who were against the traditions of the sages, and they took the Hoshanos and they hid them underneath the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. In the morning, everybody came, and none of the Hoshanos were there. But the Amei Haaretz, the ignorant individuals, the ones who don't know and don't observe, Talmud says the Amei Haaretz, they smoked out these Sadducees. They realized what they did, and they were the ones who found all the Hoshanos that were underneath these stones, and the Hoshanos were then put up on the Mizbeach. Because Hoshana Rabbah is the day for the Amei Haaretz. Hoshana Rabbah is the day for the Arava. A person doesn't have Torah, doesn't have mitzvos, God still loves us. Hoshana Rabbah is the day when God reveals His tremendous love that He has to the Jewish people no matter what. So we take the Arava, which is representing of not having any reasons for love, no mitzvos and no Torah, and we lift it up. We say, we're Jews, that's all we are, we're simple Jews. God says, in the merit of your being simple Jews, I'll give you a good year. In the merit of your being simple Jews, I'll seal you with another seal, the seal of Hoshana Rabbah. Finally, a third idea on Hoshana Rabbah.
You seem to think that the seal is still implanted in our heart to make us softer.
That's what the Kenny Shmuel was saying, right.
I always visualized it, again, it's all visualization, that the seal was the seal on the envelope.
Uh-huh, okay.
In other words, that the envelope was being sealed rather than something
personal. But both are true.
Personally.
Both are true.
In other words, the decision.
When God seals the envelope, that's also a seal in our heart. But what type of seal is going to come into the heart? So it depends on how soft a heart we have.
Okay.
If we have a soft heart, then things can come in. Says the Sheni Shmuel on another point, similar to what he's just been saying, that the truth is, we know there are five senses: the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, and the sense of touch. The esrog, maybe, is similar to the word rigog, which in Aramaic means to look at. So the esrog maybe represents the fixing of the sense of sight. We find that the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge was caused because the tree was desirous to the eyes. There is a tradition that the tree of knowledge was an esrog tree. Esrog maybe represents the fixing of sight. The arava usually represents the sense of hearing, of accepting something, because the arava is like lips. The leaves of the arava look like lips. It's like hearing something. The lulav, obviously, which has a taste, represents the sense of taste, And the hadas, which has a very good smell, that represents the sense of smell, clearly. So the only sense we're missing is the sense of touch. That's Hoshana Rabbah. In Hoshana Rabbah, we relate to the sense of touch. We pick up Hoshanos. Just touching something. The truth is, touch is the coarsest of all the five senses. It's the only one that's not in the head. It's the only one that's furthest away. Animals also have a sense of touch. It's very, very far, just to do something, just to go through the motions. Hoshana Rabbah was saying, even if we're just going through the motions, even if we're people that are in the realm of the sense of touch, Hashem says, you give that up. Hashem says, I love you. I love you because you're a Jew. I love you because you're a descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I love you because you're a part of the Jewish people. Even if you're just a person of touch, I love you also. And maybe I love you because you're humble. A person of touch maybe doesn't have so much to be arrogant about. He's humble. I love you because you're humble. And in that merit, God writes us and seals us, hopefully, God willing, on this Hoshana Rabbah for good things.